In a world of whispers and deception's art, misinformation is playing its part. Question the tales, be smart. Let's tear down lies and make a fresh start. Oh, misinformation, we will break your spell. In the truth, we will choose to dwell. With open minds, we'll dispel misinformation, farewell. Stay sharp, discern and see. Misinformation won't define our reality. In a world of facts, we will be free. And together, we will build a truth decree. Welcome to Darnley Cyber Cafe, your digital information haven for coffee aficionados. In the age where data is currency and every click could be a threat, knowledge is your greatest defense. I'm your host, Darnley Gresson Jr., and this is the podcast where we illuminate the dark corners of our digital world. Join me as we navigate the ever-changing currents of cybersecurity, news, IT security, and the latest in the business digital landscape. So, fasten your seatbelts and prepare to embark on a journey through the ever-shifting world of cyber threats, news, and IT security. Darnley Cyber Cafe, your digital information haven for coffee aficionados, starts now. Episode 58, Information, Disinformation Campaigns. Let's talk about it. In this podcast, I will talk about the state and non-state actors engaging in disinformation. Is disinformation a two-way street? And how to protect yourself from disinformation news. All right. So, state and non-state actors engaging in disinformation. Now, I want to say that we are going to go down a deep, dark black hole in this episode, and I hope to just at least scratch the surface on this. Understand that the issue of disinformation campaigns is extremely complex, multifaceted, and attributing them solely on one sponsor can be challenging due to the clandestine nature of these activities. Now, I will mention here that I'm very, very skeptical, and I tread lightly when it comes to geopolitical doings or a particular leaning left or right in this political landscape, because I know that it can be very testy for different groups of people. And I'm not here to sit down and wave a particular political flag. But at the very least, I'm here to illuminate those issues and situations that we endure as English-speaking or Western world, or the certain alignment that your particular country has in the grand scheme of things. So it may seem a very us versus them kind of conversation. And I just want to highlight that this is not against people in particular. I'm talking about political ideologies. And also, I hope that you keep in mind that I do come from a national security background. I did spend a little time in that theater. So I have a pretty good idea of how things are kind of behind closed doors. And this is where I get my intuition, my understanding, and perspective from. So that out of the way, state and non-state actors, hacktivists, and other entities engage in disinformation campaigns all the time. In today's political sphere, China in particular has been a huge contributor to disinformation into Western society for many years now. Their operation is massive. I cannot even put into words how massive their campaigns have been. And this is beyond comprehension, to the point where the Chinese can play the internet like a piano. It is also key to mention that Chinese civilians are behind the Great Firewall of China, meaning that the communist government has full control over the content that their people see and discover. So essentially, on both sides of the wall, we are all victims to their disinformation campaigns. Now, again, I will say that disinformation campaigns come from both sides, which I'll get into a bit later in this podcast. But before I get into this even further, it is very important that we approach any or all of these allegations with a critical mindset and rely slowly on credible sources. Again, it is not easy to find credible information from certain news sources or through the investigative process. And again, I'll get into this a bit later. Now, again, that said, some potential motivations for the Chinese government or entities affiliated with it to create disinformation targeting the USA or Western societies might include geopolitical influence. So this type of disinformation can be used as a tool to shape public opinion and influence political discourse in a way that aligns with the sender's geopolitical interests. It can create confusion, discord, or promote narratives that benefit the sender, such as the Chinese government. Number two, competing narratives. So different nations often have conflicting narratives on various global issues. Disinformation can be employed to challenge or counter narratives that are unfavorable to that sender's perspective. Now, that could be working on both in Western societies or not. Economic and technological competition. Now, in the context of the U.S.-China relations, economic and technological competition is highly significant. Disinformation may be used to undermine the confidence in U.S. institutions, businesses, or technological capabilities. Now, this has been going on for quite some time now, and I'm going to tell you I've seen this before. And a lot of the intellectual property that various U.S. or Western-based countries eventually get bought out, and that IP gets cannibalized into the Chinese governments or the Chinese corporations, sorry, and they basically create knockoffs or spin-offs of those programs and sell it back to Western societies at a cheaper cost, which would put them in a better advantage because you get similar technology, but for a lower price point. Given how cheap labor is in China, that's kind of where this whole thing, the economic and technological competition has come from. Number four is national security concerns. Now, governments may use disinformation campaigns to advise their national security objectives. This might include spreading false information about security threats, military activities, or intelligence matters. And you can see this right off the bat in any news article you see today. Both the Chinese, the US, and various other NATO or non-NATO backed countries are doing this. And I can't say one is better than the other, but I can tell you is that the ones that are more communist leading are the ones that spread more disinformation to create that discourse in the various countries. Now, the problem with Western societies is, it's not a problem, but one of the main things you need to make note here is that in Western countries, we kind of live in a glass house. Most of our government workings, most of the decisions are all made and it's full view to public. So our enemies, let's say, can look at all the decisions that are being made and stuff, and they themselves can actually have a hand in how they play the piano, so to speak, in terms of how to move or dissuade someone for a particular decision, thoughts, feeling, etc. And they basically target their people. And there have been many issues in the past, recent past, with Chinese nationals living in Western societies, and basically the Chinese government threatening or holding leverage against these people to make sure they vote a certain way or they do something that interests the Chinese communist country for them to do that. Now, this is important because this undermines Western society's national security concerns. And this in particular is the reason why there's so much discourse about this, because governments now, and not security agencies, governments now are in the understanding that there are meddling with the government agencies and the governments to be from subversive ways. And, you know, this really brings a important point here, because you need to understand that the whole us versus them narrative isn't exactly so black and white. It's really multifaceted. And what we can do in terms of a national security sphere is try to remove the disinformation, but it's going to be a losing battle as far as I'm concerned. It's just making sure people are aware of that and that we have the right processes, procedures, and laws that help protect the people in Western societies or the country that you're from against these campaigns. And again, living in a glass house, it's really hard to cover all our bases, whereas the Chinese government have a tight lid on their population, but also the content that is controlled. So they can move really any narrative that they like in pretty quickly, or blackout information. So certain regions are aware or not aware of the certain attributes to the country itself. North Korea, again, is another example of this, where they're behind a country-run firewall, where they have been for centuries telling their people certain narratives about the United States, about the Western cultures, etc., where they continue to brainwash their people. Now, again, I can tell you this as well, in Western societies, that we're no better ourselves. There's a lot of that brainwash. And the point I'm making here when it comes to national security concerns is that a lot of the people, even in Western societies, are gullible to the news cycle. But I've been seeing a lot of people waking up to that. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're not gullible, but I'm just speaking in general sense that most people who listen to the news cycles are thinking that that's it. But if you kind of unpackage it all and look at the news of the day, news of the week or month, you will see there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. So moving on to number five is diversionary tactics. So creating disinformation can divert attention away from domestic issues or controversies. By shifting the focus externally, any government can manage its public image and control the narrative. Again, the Chinese communist government does this, the North Koreans do this, and to an extent, the Russians are doing this as well. So these types of businesses are essentially changing the narrative and pushing out this disinformation for their gain, for their political gain, and also to continue to brainwash people to thinking that this particular thing. And it's interesting because speaking about the Russians for a second, there was a article I read about Stalin. And apparently since the war in Ukraine happened, the Russian government has been pushing this narrative on how Stalin was a good leader, et cetera, so forth. And people are, you know, erecting statues again about him. But if you actually look at history, Stalin massacred millions. I think it was like 6 or 7 million of his own people. And it was a genocide. And now you have people who are considering him as a great leader. So these tactics are very interesting because they work very well when it comes to putting the specific narrative and certain disinformation out there that illuminates certain aspects. So you can understand why and how the Chinese government are looking at for ways to slowly erode American perspectives. But keep in mind, too, that this also applies to countless other countries outside the United States, too. Europe especially is prone to Chinese government interference as well, and also Africa too. You know, there's a lot of I can get into this a bit deeper, but I won't, because I just want to scratch the surface. I don't want to get too deep, and I apologize if I have been. But I do want to make a quick note here for those who may not understand, and kind of differentiate between misinformation and disinformation. And I feel that the two sometimes get confused for one and the same, but there actually are unique differences between the two. So misinformation refers to the false or inaccurate information that is spread without the intention to deceive. Disinformation is false information planted deliberately to spread with intent to deceive, manipulate, or to harm. So in summary, the difference between these two are the specific intent. If the intention is to spread information without the purpose of deceiving, then this is misinformation. But to spread information with the intention to deceive people, this is disinformation. And that's what I'm saying, is that countries such as China are using disinformation against their people and against Western society. So now, speaking with the Chinese government in particular, they have been accused in disinformation campaigns for the following aspects. Number one, the COVID-19 pandemic. We all remember that. There have been accusations that China has engaged in disinformation related to the COVID-19 pandemic. And this includes allegations of downplaying the severity of the virus early on and promoting narratives that highlight China's response in a positive light. And those who know understand that that wasn't the case. The Chinese people were really repressed, and the rest of the world was to an extent as well, but not as much as the Chinese people were. But they downplayed the severity of it, but also they've downplayed the treatment of their own people, which we have found through our means and through different channels that wasn't the case at all. Now, number two was the Hong Kong protests. During the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong, the Chinese government has been accused of spreading disinformation to shape the narrative that paints those pro-democracy protesters in a negative light to justify its heavy-handed actions. Number three, Taiwan. Now, China has been known to exert pressure on international organizations and companies to refer to Taiwan as part of China. And that's been going on for quite a while. The Uyghur minority. Now, the disinformation has been alleged in the context of the treatment of the Uyghur Muslim minority in Xinjiang. The Chinese government has been accused of spreading misleading information to counter reports of human rights abuses in that region. Number five is territorial disputes in the South China Sea. The Chinese government has been again accused of using disinformation to advance its claims in the South China Sea. Now, this includes shaping narratives to justify its territorial assertions and portraying other nations as provocateurs. Number six, economic and technological competition. Now, in the realm of economic and technological competition, there are concerns that China may engage in disinformation campaigns to undermine the confidence in the technological capabilities and policies of other nations, particularly the United States. Now, I'll tell you, as someone who believes in freedom of expression and freedom of speech, I cannot side much with the communist country's portrayal of themselves. I take everything what they said and say with a grain of salt, because they typically project these false narratives and intentions to us. Dabbling again briefly into the cybersecurity world, I can tell you that this perspective is shared with many in this community. And sadly, I can't say the communists are the only ones being accused here. Is disinformation a two-way street? As disinformation is not limited to a particular region or society, it is very obvious that a communist regime will use this as a form of control. I can also say from confidence that Western societies can also be sources of the same disinformation. Now, the sources of this disinformation can manifest in different forms. One is political context. Now, disinformation may be used in political campaigns to manipulate public opinion, discredit opponents, or influence election outcomes. And you see this particularly in the US elections, where you would see different media outlets or different independent media outlets are using certain information, taking tidbits of different sound bites or what someone has said or what an opponent has said. And they try to use that to manipulate and try to form intentionally a certain narrative so that people would say, oh, well, so-and-so is evil, or he or she doesn't know what they're talking about, et cetera, so forth. So that in itself is disinformation, and that is running wild that I can see today, especially when it comes closer to the US elections, is that this is being used and will be used even more so, not just in within the United States, but it's also going to be used within the different state actors, as I mentioned before. The next one is media and social media. Now, disinformation can spread through various traditional media outlets, online platforms, and social media. False narratives may be promoted to serve as specific interests or to create more confusion. And I see this all the time. When it comes to social media, there are a lot of people, and I'm saying this in brackets, who post things that may not be politically correct or may not be in terms of the usual thing, just to create discourse in people and to create this very weird form of perspective about oneself and about the society they live in. And this runs very greatly through social media and also the media as well. And I mean by media in terms of the news media, the TV, radio, etc. So this happens in many ways, intentionally or not. The next one is foreign influence. Foreign actors may engage in disinformation campaigns targeting Western societies to influence policies, create those divisions, or to undermine democratic processes, and especially particularly with the Chinese governments, to look at ways that you can create that division. Because if you divide the people, this is a saying, if you divide the people, it's easier to control. But if people are united, then they're harder to control. So you have foreign agencies and foreign countries whose interest is to continue to chop away at a large country or a powerful country to take them down from the inside. So these are ways that these countries in particular are trying to, without shooting a bullet or creating war, these are ways to slowly erode the confidence in a political movement in the United States specifically. Now, next one is corporate interests. And this is a very interesting and powerful one too, because disinformation can be employed to serve corporate interests by spreading false information about competitors, products, or industry practices. Now, this is used quite a bit to hurt specific corporate interests or to hurt small business as well, in any way, shape, or form. And this can come from all different levels. This isn't just one specific level. And the next one is online manipulation. Now, individuals or groups may use disinformation as a tool for personal gain, fame, or to advance particular ideologies. And some people, such as, let's just say Alex Jones here for a second, this individual, let's say, has been using different forms of disinformation to push a particular narrative or to push a particular mindset or push a particular ideology, thought process. So his listeners would eventually start believing some of the stuff by the consistent disinformation that he has pushed out. Now, some of the horrendous ones I'm going to mention just quickly is about the schools in the United States that were gunned down, those elementary schools, like the kids who've died from mass shooters, etc. And he just basically said it didn't happen, it was fake, it was all staged, etc., so forth. you know, that sort of thing is in itself disinformation, and that can harm a bunch of people. And a bunch of followers that followed Alex Jones for many years would start to believe that. And that is very much the basic principle of disinformation. And that's the same thing of people like Alex Jones and for governments, communist governments such as North Korea or China, use to control their people. Because if you, who is this who said it was Goebbels of the Nazi regime, said if you keep repeating the lies, it will start to be believed. Don't quote me on that, but that's around what he said in terms of spreading disinformation, and eventually people will start believing it. So this is very important in terms of the two-way street, because it's not only the Chinese, it's not only the North Koreans, it's not only the Russians, it's your government and all different forms of government, from the federal to municipal, to your provincial, to your state, whatever that case may be, all the different levels of government can and will be a part of this disinformation campaign. And that is something you really need to think about and really educate yourself. I think that in this podcast, from my poem to near the end of this podcast, I really hope that you critically think about all of the various aspects of your life and the news that you ingest every day. Because with the internet, our knowledge has exploded. Imagine 100 years ago, imagine how Nikola Tesla would feel if he had complete access to the internet, how much different his work would have turned out back in the early 20th century, when he was making all these discoveries about alternating current and magnetism, etc. Like, just imagine if he had access to that, or even pull it back a bit more. What if our adversaries in the 1940s had access to the internet as well? And this would still be used a tool to manipulate people, 100%. The manipulation back in the early 20th century was either the newspaper, the telephone, the telegrams, what have you, were all used, and certain information was only released and controlled by the government. But now, with the internet, governments don't only have the control anymore. Individuals can have power. Governments can have power. State sponsors can have control. Actors, anyone that has access to the internet can literally change the course of the world. And this is very, very concerning. And this is why I created this podcast about disinformation again, because it is very important to our way of life. It's very important to our democracy, and is also very important to our freedom of speech. Now, I'm not saying you need to run around and censor everybody. I think that's moving towards China's sort of mindset. But within the Western countries, we have the freedom to look around different sources. We have the freedom to understand different things. But we are, as a human species, inherently lazy. And if we're getting fed by certain news sources, certain aspects of different disinformation, even if that level of disinformation is not 100%, you can still have little pieces of disinformation in news articles. You can have little pieces of disinformation in conversations with people. And those little pieces will just keep multiplying as time goes on and may become a reality at some point. So it's very, very, very important that we consider all these things before we run around and start believing everything and anything that we hear out there. It's very concerning, but it's happening every single day of our lives. And we should thank the Twitter files disclosures that has happened recently as well, that help illuminate those problems in our society, the issues in our democracies, things like that. There's something I guess we can pat Elon Musk in the back, telling him thank you for that, because he's allowed investigations into this data against certain things that go on even within American politics. Now, and also a few news articles I want to highlight quickly here is that YouTube or Google has mentioned that they told CNN that it had to shut down over 100,000 associated accounts in recent years because of the level of disinformation that's been spread on that platform. Meta, or Facebook as you know it, has announced in August of this year that it has taken down a cluster of nearly 8,000 accounts attributed to this group in the second quarter of 2023 alone. So you're now seeing all of these state actors or sponsors creating various Facebook groups or Facebook accounts and helping to spread the narrative in whatever that narrative may be. You can pick one. And there is probably a group of people who've been created out of thin air for that. X, which is Twitter, or X was X Twitter? Did I say it like that? Anyways, X has blocked hundreds of thousands of China state-backed or state-linked accounts, according to the company blog. So they have actively deleted hundreds and thousands of accounts, which are just spreading lies. And you will see this in any social media or any form where you see some discourse against opinion and stuff like that. And I say most of the time, these people are not real. They are random fake bot accounts that were created by, let's say, China, for example, or from someone who just wants to create discourse in the online community or to sort of discuss various other situations behind closed doors and releasing that into the wild. So now you know how everything is going in terms of the disinformation landscape. But the $1 million question here is how to protect yourself from disinformation. Now, I'll be clear. This isn't a black or white answer, and it is very multifaceted. There are a lot of things that you can do to protect yourself. So I'm just going to go through a few key points here on the things that you need to do to at least give yourself the education, to give you that tripwire in your mindset when you are listening to news or propaganda or stuff like that. So this protecting yourself from this disinformation involves a combination of critical thinking, your media literacy, and various proactive measures. Now, like I said, there's going to be a few strategies I'm going to give you now to help navigate the information landscape more effectively. So first is you verify your sources. That's number one here. You need to check the credibility of the news source. Reliable outlets typically adhere to journalistic standards and fact check their information, because generally they can get in trouble if they don't. But you have seen on many times where these reputable outlets do get in trouble for releasing either disinformation or misinformation, but more times than not, it is misinformation. The next one is to cross-check your information. You must verify this information by cross-referencing it with multiple reliable sources. Consistency across multiple reputable sources increases the likelihood of those sources being accurate. Be very skeptical of news headlines. Headlines can be very misleading and can be used as clickbait. Read beyond the headlines to understand the full context of the story, either by opening up the article, reading the article. I can tell you about 8 out of 10 times the various headings that I have watched or read, when you kind of unpack it a little bit, you'll see it actually meant something else, or it was trying to form a certain opinion or feeling in the reader. And it's very interesting when you actually, you know, pull back the veil a bit and you'll see that there are, these headlines can be very misleading just to either subscriptions for newspaper purchases. And yes, that still happens, but mostly for people to click on the article and to get ad revenue. Always check the publication date. Always ensure that the information is current by checking the publication date. They typically change the content, or they kind of reword it differently, but they can just present it different ways, and that can be very misleading. Now, moving along, look for websites that are well known. They have authority on certain news and are known to have accurate reporting. Identify the biases. You know, be aware of the political biases in news sources. If you're reading one particular news source, it may actually have a political leaning articles because they are adhering to a certain political bias. So they may leave out some important news or articles or research or what have you that you may find somewhere else. So just keep an eye on that. Most importantly, fact check the information. There is a lot of nonsense going on out there, the misinformation and disinformation alike. So always try to utilize fact-checking software or resources just to make sure that nothing's being said to be to shock and awe, and you're going to go around and spread more misinformation. Question: unusual content. There's a lot of that out there, especially in a lot of those chat boards. Be very skeptical of sensational or overly dramatic content. Again, misinformation specifically relies on emotional manipulation so that you would send it to other people or say, oh my gosh, why did this really happen? Let me just send this everywhere. That's why. And really question that to make sure that is really true. And like I said before, just fact check the information. Again, consider the source's reputation, diversify your news resources, as I said to you before, check for consistency, educate yourself on disinformation tactics. So this is just basically learning about the tactics that are used in disinformation campaigns, such as deepfakes, like I said, misinformation and manipulation of images. I see that a lot now online where there's AI generated images that are starting to look so real that it could be mistaken for something. So I'm saying question everything. I'm not saying don't believe everything, but at the same time, just have an objectable mindset to see what is out there and what could be manipulated, because moving forward in the many years and months and weeks and days ahead, you know, people are going to use different sources to manipulate the news for that reason. And be very mindful of social media again. And this also includes message boards too, that there is a breeding ground for misinformation and disinformation. Those who know, know. Okay. Like I said before, just make sure you verify the images and videos, because these can also be manipulated in some way, shape, or form. You can also report the misinformation and disinformation. It's not always 100%. I wouldn't trust it 100% of the time, to be honest. Honestly, some of these social media platforms are very biased, I'll admit that, and they may or may not remove certain information that you report. So this is kind of a slippery slope, a little dance. I'm not going to dance today, but you get the idea. And lastly, just promote media literacy. Just encourage in your education institutions, no matter your age, just encourage media literacy education in schools and communities to enhance your critical thinking skills. I think a lot of kids, even adults this day and age, don't have these critical thinking skills, and they are victims to this misinformation and disinformation campaigns for this exact reason, where people are so quick to jump on the bandwagon or so quick to formulate an opinion about something that they don't actually have the necessary critical thinking mindset to be able to overcome some of the challenges that are there when trying to dissect information in the news media. You know, I say always don't believe everything you hear, and always keep an open, objective mind on anything that goes on in today's society. So by adopting these practices, you will become more resilient, and you will be able to less likely be acceptable to the misinformation and disinformation campaigns all over the internet or on your news media, so that you can make more informed decisions based on accurate and reliable information. Thank you for listening to this episode with Darlene Cyber Cafe. Be sure to subscribe and stay tuned for weekly episode releases, because in the world of cybersecurity, knowledge is power.